connect, grow, and serve. And we talk about this all the time. These are our purposes. We help use these three words to define who we are, and where we want to go as a church and as a community. It helps us distinguish what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So ultimately, we want to connect with God. If you come to church, we want to connect with God, finding out His purposes and His plan for us. Also, within that, we're not here all by ourselves. I can think of very few of you that I would know if it wasn't for church. I wouldn't have any other connection. So we want to connect with God, but also connect with others. We also, when we come to church, we don't want to remain the same as we were when we arrived. We want to slowly grow and become the people that God created us to be. So ultimately, we want to grow in our relationship with God. We want to connect with God, grow in our relationship with God. And of course, we also want to get to know people and find out how we can be a blessing to you, find out how more about you. Many of us are from other places in the world, other places within Australia, and there's no other family connection. And you look around and you go, this is my family. And whether you like it or not, we're your family. Also with that, we want to move beyond that and ultimately serve God. As you connect with God, as you grow with God, the natural outflow is to serve God. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. In the past weeks, we talked about connecting with God. We talked about growing with God. And this morning, we're going to be talking about serving God. Now, I'm going to preface what I say this morning as we're not sitting back here going, we are desperately in need of help. Please, if you don't help us, we're desperate. I firmly believe that God will equip us and give us the amount of people, the amount of money, the amount of time in order to fulfill His will. So therefore, we've determined as a church not to do anything unless we already have the willing, happy, thrilled workers in place beforehand. So this isn't a message saying we are in desperate need. If you don't help, we are going to go under. Not at all. But we want to teach you what the Bible says about service. Many of us would probably rather be served than serve. I mean, quite honestly, I would much rather have my feet rubbed any day of the week than rub anyone's feet, even my wife's. Now, you'd much rather receive the service than give the service. You'd much rather, in a sense, get blessed rather than be blessed. And that's often because we have the wrong view of service. Sometimes we view service as a punishment. If you don't, then you're going to have to go serve at church, or you're going to have to go serve. Like, oh boy. Or God gives us an opportunity, we go, really? We end up acting like Jonah in the Old Testament, who got a wonderful privilege of being asked by God to go and tell people about His love and His mercy and to asking them and calling them to repentance. And rather than saying, God, thank you for calling me to service, he ran the other direction. And quite literally, he ran the other direction. If you read the book of Jonah, he got eaten by a fish and some tremendous things happened in Jonah. We have the wrong view sometimes of service. We see it as a punishment. We see it as a chore. We also see it as a means to, like, well, someone's got to do it. And many times around within our church walls, we think of things, we go, well, rather than it being a joy and a thrill to serve, well, I guess if no one else is going to do it, I'll do it. And that's the wrong attitude to have, and I hope that none of us have that attitude when we serve. There are people upstairs right now changing, or probably not changing nappies, because none of your kids ever do any of that in the nursery. In fact, when my children were young enough to be in the creche, I used to tell them, now you go and poop in the nursery. You don't do it at home. But there's people upstairs taking care of your children right now, and you hope that they are doing it in a wonderful, thrilled attitude, don't you? You don't want them to go, yeah, just take the kid anywhere. No, you want them to have a good attitude, the same way the people that serve publicly in front of others as well as behind the scenes. They're thrilled to have your kids. Within our own realm of our own church influence, we often get a syndrome of thinking, well, someday I'll do that. Someday, God will give me a heart that I'll really enjoy serving. Someday, I'll have a ministry that I really, really want to serve in, But in the meantime, I'll just go through the motions. And I believe that is the wrong attitude. I believe in the seemingly small and mundane things, as well as the things that are celebrated by others and are big in public. Each and every one of them can be a thrill. We can say, wow, God, the creator of the universe, has a plan and a purpose for me. Whatever it is, it's a thrill that God can use me. Wow, I can be used by God. This morning, let's pray together. As we begin this message, I want to give you, in a sense, permission to say, God, will you give me something that I'm thrilled about? Will you give me a ministry of service, something I can do for you that gives me a thrill, rather than just going through the motions of church or going through the motions year after year, you know, and sometimes decade after decade. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for each and every person here this morning that we will be the people you want us to be, that we will connect with you, that we'll grow with you, and ultimately serve you by serving others. And Lord, I pray that you'll give us the right attitude, that we will be filled with what you want us to be filled with, we'll be thrilled in the way that you want us to be thrilled. And in Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be focusing upon the thrill that it is to serve God. And before you can have a thrill of serving God, first and foremost, you must have a relationship with God. You must know God before you can be thrilled about serving Him. And that begins with receiving God's grace and His mercy upon your lives. It's quite literally the definition of the gospel. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, which we remembered this morning in communion, is talking about the fact that God loves us, He cares for us, He desires to save us from our sins and giving us a relationship with Himself. And we have a principle for this morning. The principle is this: the thrill of serving God comes from the overflow of God's supply. It comes from the overflow. You cannot give what you do not possess. And when you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, received His wonderful supply, as it says there, of grace and mercy, the overflow of that comes out as a thrill of service for Him. In the Bible, in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 4, if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you, open your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be there primarily today, and I'd like you to see this for yourself. And the Apostle Peter says this: whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We have a command to serve, not only just to go through the motions of service, like somebody's got to do it, or it's a chore, but to serve because God has supplied us the ability to serve. And from the overflow of that, we get to serve Him. Give me a little bit of background of the book of 1 Peter. The 1 Peter was written by a man named Peter. It's a good guess, isn't it? And Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was a man who was called primarily to serve the Jewish people. And the apostle Peter, another apostle, was primarily focusing upon the Gentiles. In other words, the non-Jewish people. And Peter traveled a number of places, wrote a couple of letters. They're called 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And he wrote to real Christians that were scattered because of persecution. Both Jewish and Gentile Christians were scattered because of persecution. And he wrote this book of 1 Peter primarily for the purpose for two things. One is to equip them and encourage them through their suffering. You're going through a really difficult time right now. All the other nations around you, all the other false gods and your society is oppressing you. I want to give you encouragement and strength through that. But not just for the current suffering they're going through, but also to look forward to their future suffering. And he talked about later on in chapter number 4, the trials that they were going to go through, the difficulties they were going to go through. And he was writing to them to prepare them for this. And part of the preparation is you are going to have the ability to serve God. But don't just go through the motions of serving God because all the other, you know, the oppression and the suffering you're going through, like, oh, I guess we have to serve Him today. it can be a wonderful thrill to serve God. The Apostle Peter gives two main points. We're going to read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, and then we're going to go through and break down with two main points. It says this in verse number 7. The end of all things is at hand. In other words, it's coming to an end. Things are only going to get worse. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified. He gives you the purpose. In everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says there, God will supply. You're going through a difficult time. You may be where you are right now going through suffering. And you may think to yourself, it's only the third week of the year and it's already tough. Or this may be a great holiday season for you. It may be wonderful, but I want you to prepare you for the future that you cannot serve God in a thrilling way in your own strength and your own power. God has to work in you to ultimately work through you to accomplish His plan. And we see that God supplies. There's two things that God supplies. We'll look at the first one. God supplies love. He supplies enough love to love some pretty unlovable people. Now, of course, none of us, right? There's others that he needs that love for. And he says there in verse number 8, above all, it was, this is the pinnacle. Above all, if you're going to love and serve people, or serve people, you have to love people. This is a new thrill of loving others. Some people are easy to love, others are difficult to love. And he gives three points below the love to help us understand what he's talking about here. The first is, with the love, we must focus. He says there, keep loving one another, and he uses the word earnestly. That word earnestly, I did a little bit of research on it, and from this definition has to do with intent and without ceasing. And from some other reading that I was doing, it has the understanding of, and is used in other ways, of talking about an athlete's resilience, to keep on going. In my interactions with this school here at Dialup College, I mentor a child once a week here at this school, and I help in a small way with the chaplaincy to work at the school. And one of the key words that the school uses often is the word resilience. And it's kind of a little side note here. If you want to get anything done around public schools, you just say, it's going to build resilience. They go, oh, it is? Fantastic. That ticks a whole bunch of our boxes. And resilience has to do with when you're knocked down, you're going to get back up again. You're going to keep getting back up. You're going to keep trying, keep working. And in a similar way, as an athlete, no athlete accomplishes a win by stopping halfway and going, I don't know if I can do this. That only happens in the movies when they're down at halftime by 50 points to nothing, and then they have this big rah-rah at halftime, and then all of a sudden they come back and win. But as in the reality is, you got to keep on going. Keep loving. The second part of loving, of God supplying love, is the fact that we can be supplied with the love that forgives. This is an important one, because this is something that we want to receive. When there's an issue between each other, when there's an issue in our relationships with others, in a husband and wife relationship, we want forgiveness. We want to be forgiven as quickly as, but also rather, we need to forgive as quickly as we wish to be forgiven. Paul says there, since love covers a multitude of sins. Thinking through this, I was thinking about that love and forgiveness is that a baby is a good example of this. And you think, well, how does a baby need forgiveness? Because if you're anything like a parent like myself, you held your child on your hip, not as much as my wife did, but I held my kids quite a bit, and particularly my son, and I was holding him, and oftentimes, I say often, it's happened more than twice or three times. You stand there talking to someone, often after church, and you're having a good conversation, and you feel this sensation, and it warmth, and you, oh, that feels quite nice. And then you realize what's going on your shirt, and you hold the child out, and you look at the child, and what do? You know, this is what you do not do. You don't pick up the child and go, that's gross. No, you don't throw the child on the ground. You may place the child on the ground, but you don't throw them down. You may look at them and say, I don't like what you're doing right now. You know, I have my kids that like to make messes and use other things that happened in their nappies and rub it on the walls. And, you know, you look at them and you think, I'm going to let you live past this. I'm going to forgive you, and we're going to move on. Could you imagine? Now, granted, not all of you are pastors' kids, so you don't get things that you did 10 years ago brought up again and again and again. But how would it be if every single time that you saw a loved one, that all the rubbish of your past, all the mistakes of your past are brought up? Are you going to have a close relationship with that person, or are they going to avoid you? Are you going to have a relationship where you have the ability to be a blessing to that person and speak into their lives and encourage them if you're always holding on to grudges of things that may have happened a year, 2 years ago, a decade ago, sometimes multiple decades ago? You think back, and maybe there's a person right now that comes to your mind that you need to forgive right now, because love covers a multitude of sins. And maybe there's a person in your past that's wronged you, and you've been carrying around this junk year after year, and you need to forgive them. They may have forgotten completely what they ever did to you, but you haven't forgotten, and you're the one that's suffering. So in a sense here, it's wonderful to be forgiven and go, oh good, my relationship is restored. But the other side of it is, you carry around this burden on your back of carrying around hatred and animosity, and that person did this to me back in 1972, and I'll never forget it. You're the one that's suffering. Love covers a multitude of sins. In order to serve God and make it a thrill, you must love with focus. You must be focused upon God and His love. Also, forgive. The third point there is friendliness. Now, friendliness is something that you can sure fake, can't you? You can smile on the outside, and I know, and I've said this in the past, you come to church and we all smile, and how are things? Things are wonderful. And I sometimes have to fake, you know, I'm doing okay, because I don't want you to feel like poor Michael. But the other side of it is, you can be genuinely friendly with still having a hard day. You can be genuinely hospitable to others. And the scripture says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, isn't that incredibly relevant for today in our society, as well as it was 2,000 years ago when this was written? To show hospitality. Great, I can show hospitality, but I might have to fake it. But he says there, without grumbling. Maybe this video here will help illustrate this and bring it to mind as far as what's going on and what not to do. If you have someone over your house that may be a little bit different from you, maybe you need to show a little bit of hospitality without grumbling.
All right, time to eat.
Let's do
Yum.
It.
Good.
Thanks for bringing your buddy over for dinner.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Let's pray.
Yeah. No, I was going to suggest that. Pray before we eat and stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, dude, take your hat off.
You want me to take my hat off? For the prayer or just the meal or?
Thank you.
Okay, hats off.
Okay, let's pray. We close our eyes.
Oh, you want me to close my eyes too? Okay, bro, you told me about none of this, but all right, eyes closed, hat off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew that. You want my phone for?
We hold
hands.
Oh, you okay.
We hold hands.
You're one of these families.
We hold
okay,
hands.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I saw this in a painting one time. Okay, let's do it.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven?
Thank you for the food.
No!
Oh,
seriously, I don't know.
Really?
Hospitality has to do with understanding where the other person is and being gracious enough to be focused and forgiving and seeing past their differences and seeing them for not necessarily who they are today, but who God has created them as. There's a lot of people that we can look at as problems that we really just need to show some hospitality and some understanding to. And in order to show love to people and service and make service a thrill, we can't go and look at people and go, oh, they're here again. Think of all the extra work they're going to make me. Think of how awkward it's going to be. And, oh, now you may think through this at the end of the service. We have a coffee and tea time and some food out there. And that person that you don't feel very hospitable to may come talk to you. Here's a good test for you. Stop and listen and smile and actually hear the words that they say rather than thinking in your head, how long until I can walk away? Try that today. Try being hospitable to people, and then we can practice here and then go out to the outside world and show true love and service to them on the outside. Moving on from there, we have the fact that God supplies love. He gives the focus. He gives us the ability to forgive. He gives us the ability to be friendly, but also he gives us the fact that he actually has given us the ability. There's a great fear that I think is a universal fear. It's the fear that I do not, and then you fill in the blank, I don't know enough, I don't have enough, I'm not smart enough, and whatever it is, I don't, and then you fill the blank in. Well, we see in verse number 10, it says this, as each has received a gift, each and every one of us has been given a gift, an ability, an opportunity to love God through service. And it's a thrill when we use our gifts and abilities. Some of you can sing beautifully. Some of you can play instruments. I'm blessed with the fact that I have no rhythm at all. And I can follow along if I watch your hands and clap. But if you ask me to, I'll clap on like every third beat and then every second beat. And I'm all over the place. So to ask me to do that is not a thrill at all. It's a chore. And so therefore, God has given some of you the ability to be able to clap on rhythm. It's amazing. I don't know how you do it. The kind of service that makes God look valuable and thrilling is the type that is constantly receiving from God. God, I need your strength. I need your ability. I need your grace, your mercy, your love in my life so that from the overflow of that, I can share it with others. And it says there, as each received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That word stewards there is not an owner. And actually, it's a very specific word and has the understanding of I don't own the wonderful gifts that God has given to me. I am simply a manager of the gifts that God has given to me. And that's a totally different way of looking at God's opportunities, his gifts and his abilities. Is if you are simply a manager of them, the way that you look at them is how can I use these and manage these for God's honor and his glory? There's two different areas that God supplies. He applies the ability to tell the truth. Just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should do it. I came across this picture of people that wearing crocheted jumpsuits. And maybe it will become fashionable in 2019, but right now I don't think it's very fashionable. And somebody should have told them that is not a good idea. But just because you can tell someone the truth doesn't mean that you should necessarily tell them the whole truth. Let me explain what I mean by that. What it's telling us here in this passage, in verse number 11, it says, whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. In other words, just because you're grumpy and you have an opinion doesn't mean that you have to actually share your opinion and share everything that just because you're grumpy. And it says, the Bible says it, give me the ability to speak, so therefore I'm going to share everything that I ever should, all my grievances. Now what it's talking about there is when we have the ability to speak, we need to speak. It says they're the oracles of God or the truth of God with others. As a pastor, I know that it's my job to share the Word of God with people. But you know what? It's every single Christian's job to share the love of God with people. And I consider it an incredible privilege to share the love and the grace of God with other people. And there's probably no greater thrill that I have in my life, let alone in just in my church ministry, to sit with somebody and to show them out of the Bible how they can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the old proverbial light bulb goes off above their head, and you can see in their eyes that they understand what the Scripture is saying, that they need to receive Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And they do that, and they bow their heads maybe through a prayer, or you can see them receiving Christ as their Savior through their words, and you look at that and you go, that is amazing. There's no greater thrill than telling the truth and to sharing with someone the wonderful truth of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. It's a loving way of speaking the truth, of sharing with others the wonderful truth of God. But we have a balance here. Remember I talked about the great fears? We have the fear that I don't, or maybe you have the fear of I don't know enough. Maybe what if they ask a question that I don't know the answer to? I believe that the Bible has given us a command to speak the truth in a loving way. But he also, to preface that, to go back into verse number 10, it says, each has received a gift. He has given you enough information. He's given you enough knowledge to share the truth that he wants you to share. That doesn't mean we stop learning. That doesn't mean that we don't look to learn. What it says is we need to share the truth with others, and he will give us the ability. He will give us enough knowledge. He'll give us the right words. He also says there, he gives us the ability that God will supply the ability to serve. The rest of verse number 11 says, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. The other great fear is the fear that I won't have enough. If I serve somebody else, if I give them whatever it is, I give them my time, my money, the effort and the ability, then I won't have enough for myself. But according to the Scripture here, it says that God supplies the strength. He is the one that supplies. And if God's the one that's supplying, he knows exactly how much I need. Scripture says in Ephesians 4:19, it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And that scripture there does not say God will make you rich if you just ask really nicely. That's not what it's saying there. It says that he'll supply every need according to his riches in glory. He will give you everything that you need to fulfill his plan and his purpose for your life. I remember probably 21-year-old, in the U.S., I worked for a summer youth camp over a summer. We did six different youth camps over 6 weeks, and each of the camps, they probably averaged about 700 kids per camp. So they were huge camps, and you'd walk back and forth and back and forth, and I had blisters on my feet with wearing, tennis shoes, and I still had blisters on my feet on the bottom because I walked so much, and it was incredible. None of the pain mattered. When you see during the services young people coming to the front and receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior, as you hear about people dedicating their lives to whatever God wanted for them, and you've seen the change in their lives, none of the pain of my feet and the tiredness of the fourth and the fifth and halfway through the sixth week of camp, week after week after week. Some of you sent your kids to camp, you realize how tired they were at the end. You know, the workers are just as tired. And it was a thrill to serve. No one is bound to go beyond his or her ability, but everyone is required to come up to their ability. And therefore, we need to be constantly hungry for the things of God. God, what do you have for me today? How can you bless me today so that I can bless others? How can I use the gifts and abilities that you've given me to be a blessing to others? In my backyard, I have a small fish pond. And I have some goldfish in my fish pond. And my goldfish love me. Do you know how I know that? It's because every single time I walk past my fish pond, they come to the surface. And they kiss me at the surface of the water. And every so often, I'll get some food and I'll put it down there for them. But every single time I go to my fish pond, every single time, they come to the surface, kissing me. They're always asking for food. They're always asking, I'm hungry, I'm starving. You have to feed me now. I need your food. And they try to put on their saddest fish faces to make me feel sorry for them so I'll feed them. In a similar way, as a silly illustration, but in a similar way, when you and I think about being used by God, in a sense, we need to be standing before God saying, God, I need your strength. I need you to supply what I need so that I can serve in a thrill. Because you will not, and I'm making a definitive statement here, ready? You will not serve God in a way that thrills you in your own strength and your own power and your own ability. It's impossible. The scripture says there that he will supply. Verse 11 says, in order that in everything God may receive glory. This is the application. That God will receive the glory. In order that everything God may receive glory through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever. Amen. It means that God will receive glory not when we do things in our own strength, not when we do things with a bad attitude, not when we do things filled with unforgiveness, like, and we just go through the motions, but when we do things for his honor and his glory, we get the thrill of service. It's not like God needs anything from us. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 17, the writer there writes, and he tells us some pretty hard truth about who we are and how much God actually needs us. Because sometimes we think about service like we're doing God a favor. God, aren't you glad I'm serving you? You are so fortunate or lucky to have me on your side. And it says there in Acts 17, verses 24 and 25, the God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything. Did you catch that? As though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. At the end of all of that, we can do what the psalmist did in Psalm 100, verse number 2, where he says, serve the Lord with gladness. That's what I hope for our church. We're going to be talking about over the next number of weeks different opportunities for you to serve. Opportunities, not needs, but opportunities. Because we believe that God will supply every need. We simply need to come up to the opportunity that he's offered to us. There's opportunities, and we have a number of people in different positions, and you may think to yourself, I've always wanted to try such and such a thing. We want to give you the opportunity. We want to give you the opportunity where you don't know what area of service or what area of opportunity is right for you, but you want to at least to be open and willing to say, God, I am willing to be used by you. You have to supply the love, you have to supply the ability, but I will be used by you. And all we will ask of you as a church, that you'll be willing to say yes. Now, there's some specific opportunities that we have laid out on the welcome table. And we're going to ask you to sign up for different things so that we know that we have permission to contact you and ask you. The other things are, sometimes we don't know your abilities. We don't know what God's been working in your heart. And maybe there's an area of service that you've been working on and God's been touching you, and we can come alongside you and help equip you, maybe train you, give you support outside, maybe give you opportunity for service, whatever that is, we want to ask your permission to say, basically, permission to let us know what that is. Let me close with three questions. First one is, does the prospect of serving God thrill you? And if not, let me encourage you, go back to the Scripture, go back to what the Word of God says, and find out, first of all, do you have a relationship with Him? If you do, tremendous. Let's begin developing that and allowing His service to be a thrill to you. The second one is, and this is important, this is a yes or no question. Will you give God permission to use you for His glory? Because that's the result of service, that God is glorified. And the third one is, this one I hopefully you all say yes to. Will you sign up to serve God? In other words, will you practically put it down on paper? Because it's all well and good, and something that I've already talked with someone today about. If you don't remind me, I will forget. And maybe it's something you need to take one of these connection cards and write on the back and saying, I don't know. Will you help me? And we'll come alongside you and be a help. Maybe there's a number of different opportunities. There's different opportunities in music and in AV. There's in children's ministry, in school mentoring, in hospitality and greeting people as they come in and providing food. There's a number of different opportunities on the welcome table. Let me encourage you, sign up for them. And we're not going to sign you up forever. We'll come and talk to you. We'll understand where you are, what your abilities are, what your opportunities are, and we'll explain to you. In other words, if you sign up for something, it's not forever. It's not like, if I sign on the dotted line, I can never, ever get out of creche. Never. No, what it is we want to find out, we'll give you an exit strategy if you want an exit strategy. We'll help you in service because we want you to, and here's a key final statement before we pray. We want you to become who God created you to be.